We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Pro Football Focus Show here for week 6 on RotoGrinders with my good friends, Mr. Scott Barrett and Tyler Beaker. Tyler, what's up, my man? Week 5, another good week for me. Cash games, made some money in tournaments as well. I got to say, it's a pretty good NFL season I got going so far for myself.
Yeah, it's flying by when you win money.
It's
definitely a good way to start the year. Definitely think week 5 went about as expected. I think the James Conner leverage play on all the Pittsburgh passing attack that was heavily touted was a great way to go. He ended up scoring 35-plus points. And then all the shootouts that we anticipated getting up there and score ended up shooting out. So it was a pretty chalky week.
We'll talk about that jersey behind you as the show progresses, by the way. Scott, how's it going, my man?
It's good.
I don't know. That's it? All right. Scott's got so many dank stats for us. He's going to talk a lot about James Winston and a lot of Buccaneers as we get into this one. But I guess we're going to have a fun-filled show, lots of good information. I think we should just kind of jump right into it here. So let's start at quarterback. If you guys have been listening, this is what we do here. We give you a stud, a value player, and a dud at each of the positions using a lot of the Pro Football Focus stats that they have on their site. We do some screen shares of some of the stuff behind their paywall. We talk about Scott's actual opportunity. All kinds of fun stuff they have going on over there at PFF, backed up by two really good analysts that they have here with Scott and Tyler. So, Tyler, I'm going to start with you at quarterback. We've got this huge total game with Atlanta this week. You know, I'm looking at Matt Ryan. He's 6,800. I see Jameis Winston sitting here at 5,800. I just said pre-show, Jameis Winston's going to be the chalkiest quarterback of the season. in both cash games and tournaments. But if you're looking to spend up, differentiate a little bit, how can you go wrong with Matt Ryan against this Tampa Bay defense?
Yeah, I mean, we've been targeting this Tampa Bay secondary heavily to start the year, and I'm going back to the well here with Ryan. Great home matchup here with the Falcons, implied for the most points on the main slate. The Buccaneers are allowing, on average, 370 passing yards and 3.3 passing touchdowns.
Wait, does that mean defense matters?
We'll touch on that later.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it certainly doesn't matter when you're Mitch Trubisky and you can throw six touchdowns against the this defense here by the Tampa Bay. The secondary can't cover anyone. Ryan is someone we should heavily target this week in GPPs.
Yeah, at home, full allotment of weapons, although we do have Devontae Freeman popped up on the injury report today. I don't know if that really means a lot for Matt Ryan. Probably not too much. Got a lot of weapons. Sanu's in there. Just a whole lot of stuff going on there for Matt Ryan. Love the call. He is the most expensive quarterback. Scott, you agree with this? Is Matt Ryan, if we're paying up, I know you're going to talk Jameis at every single spot. You're going to talk about him at wide receiver. You're going to talk about him at running back as well. But if we're paying up a little bit, do you agree with the Matt Ryan take?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to have Jameis Winston as my quarterback on every single lineup. I wrote a note to myself 2 weeks ago, all in on Jameis Winston and Cameron Brait and Julio Jones in week six, no matter what. So no matter what, but maybe a few lineups for Matt Ryan. Like Tyler just said, Tampa Bay's defense is worst in the league this year, but not just that, they're historically bad. They're on pace to set all decade record lows, or record highs in passing yards per game allowed, passing touchdowns per game allowed, opposing passer rating. Matt Ryan, you know, he disappointed in weeks 1 and 5, but he was on the road. And then he played 3 home games in between. And over that span, he averaged 33.4 fantasy points per game. That was one of the highest scoring 3-week stretches in the history of the NFL. And, well, he's at home again this week.
Against Tampa Bay, yeah. So you can't go wrong with Matt Ryan. Let's talk a little bit about Jameis Winston here. So he's coming back, has the bye week to reacclimate himself, has a variety of weapons here. He's your stud. He's your value play. I already said at the top of the show, easily he's going to be the highest owned quarterback that we've seen in cash games and especially in tournaments this year. I haven't really figured out how I'm going to approach that from a tournament perspective because the high owned quarterbacks really haven't done it at all this week. The top 10s from my article that I do here at RotoGrinders are just littered with like 1 and 2% owned quarterbacks every single week. So I got to figure out how I'm going to do that. But 5,800 for Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston, you know what, 60, if he was priced as Matt Ryan, who would you take in the matchup here? Scott?
I don't know. I'd probably split it close to even, maybe a little bit more Matt Ryan, but that's definitely a focal point is how cheap he is. But even just in terms of my projections, it's close. Mm-hmm. Like Winston averaged 19.9 fantasy points per game when he played on at least 50% of his team's snaps last year. That would have ranked 4th best among all quarterbacks. 306.9 yards per game. That would have led the position by 20 yards per game. You know, career journeyman, pedestrian backup Ryan Fitzpatrick, he totaled 97.4 fantasy points per game across the first 3 weeks of the season with his new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. That was the most by any quarterback through the first 3 weeks of the season ever. And what has Jameis done with Monken? We don't really know yet, or do we? We saw what he did in preseason, and guess what? He was PFF's highest-rated quarterback this preseason, 30 for 41, 388 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. And the matchup is ideal for what should be a high-scoring shootout. Tampa Bay has no running game to speak of. Their defense has surrendered 80% of its yards via the pass, definitely a pass funnel. Devonta Freeman also is probably out for Atlanta. Both teams rank bottom 6 in schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. Tampa Bay ranks dead last in opposing pass rating. Atlanta ranks 7th worst. Both rank bottom 4 in fantasy points per dropback allowed. Both offenses rank top 10 in pace-neutral pass percentage. And my favorite defensive stat, Falcons rank dead last in points allowed per drive, and the Buccaneers rank 2nd worst. It's just a dream matchup for a guy who's, you know, set up a lot better than most people realize. I'm not going to overthink this. I'm just going to play him.
Or if you didn't need your microphone for the rest of the podcast, I'd tell you to drop it. right? Because you just listed off so many of those dank stats that I think I lost track of them all here. But yes, Jameis Winston, play them guys. He's going to be extremely popular for cash games. Use them. Tournaments, you should probably have some unless you're kind of like an ownership person like me. You got to think about it a little bit. I play a wide field, but absolutely love Winston. So, Tyler, you can't say Jameis Winston. Well, you can, but I'm going to force you to take the hard way out here. The problem I'm having is you just look at the field and the value around Winston just simply doesn't look as good. You can play a guy like Cam Newton, but I like Cam Newton a little earlier in the week. We'll talk about Pat Thorman's article. I don't know. I've soured on Cam Newton a little bit. You've got Jared Goff, who you're going to talk about here. Maybe he doesn't have all of his weapons. Russell Wilson's not running. Phillip Rivers is going up against a tough defense on the road. Blake Bortles, garbage time against Dallas. I mean, it could happen, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Baker is probably the one guy I'm interested in a little bit. But the value outside of Winston just doesn't really look too good.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Baker's probably the lowest I'd be willing to go, but I like Jared Goff here if you're looking for kind of a median output, a guy that has a really good matchup here against Denver. Three quarterbacks have played them to start the year in Denver. They've each averaged just a tick under 300 passing yards, flirting with that three-point bonus, with two of those three quarterbacks throwing for multiple touchdowns. The Rams offense has been playing lights out to begin the year. They lead the league in just about every statistical category, or they're very close to the top. Goff has averaged 26.2 DK points, and the Rams offense is implied for the second most points on the slate. I think he's a really good play here and one that could go overlooked considering that Gurley's coming off a recent three touchdown outing. His wide receivers are banged up, but neither Cooper Kupp nor Brandon Cooks practiced today on Wednesday. If they're good to go, I think Goff could provide an immense ceiling and what could be a surprising shootout. If they're not good to go, I'll probably be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, is this just why all the ownership's going to funnel to Winston this week, in my opinion? Just such a good spot for Winston. I don't know, really tough to move away from him. Let's talk about a dud. And I don't know, I guess I'll stay with you on this one, Tyler, first, because you've got Joe Flacco in here. And I don't know, I don't hate Joe Flacco. He's got Air Yards King and John Brown, so I like that little stack together. And against Tennessee, you can beat him through the air with Malcolm Butler out there playing horrible defense. I don't hate this as much as you do. Why all the hate on Joe Flacco?
Honestly, it was really hard to pick a dud this week. I just kind of am not that interested in this game as a whole. The game total's already dropped a point since opening. The Titans play pretty slow. They're the seventh fewest plays per game. So I think it's more of a pace and total volume than opportunity. The Titans' pass coverage ranks top five according to our metrics. They've held opposing passers to the third fewest passing touchdowns. They rank bottom 10 in fantasy points allowed to opposing QBs. So there's a couple reasons why I'm not that interested in Flacco. If I were to play one guy from here, it would be John Brown. He's the one dart throw I'm interested in, hoping he gets some single coverage here against Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I do. John Brown's one of my favorite mid-tier wide receiver plays of the slate. Scott, you're hating on Phillip Rivers. Cleveland Browns defense, it is for real. The Browns, you know, they should be a really good team. I think they end up making the playoffs by the time it's all said and done. West Coast to East, lots of stuff working against Rivers. I think that's a pretty easy pass for me as well.
Yeah, so just the stats for you. They rank second best in opposing passer rating, second best fantasy points per dropback allowed, second best schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. So, yep.
That was defense, correct?
Yeah, Cleveland's defense.
We can't – it doesn't matter. Defense doesn't matter. We know all this, Scott. I got to get this in here a couple of times because it's the hot topic of the week. All right, Scott, let's get to your opportunity segment here. You put out a great article every week. I've got it pulled up here on the screen share. Alvin Kamara kind of fell flat last week a little bit. What are you seeing here? What's some stuff, actionable players we can use that have underperformed that we might want to use in DFS this week?
Yeah, so I wish defenses didn't matter. It would make my job a lot easier. Basically, all you would need to do is look at a player's actual opportunity score, because we know the one thing that matters most is opportunity, and nothing measures it better than this metric. So, you know, you could just check the data and then log out and it's game over.
But $1 million every week.
That's right. But defense does matter. I will say I've been crushing with my positive regression candidates. So 2 weeks ago, the top guy was Corey Davis. Number two was Jarvis Landry. Davis scored like 30 point something fantasy points. The next week, Jarvis Landry was number one. Number two was Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz scored 30 point something fantasy points on DraftKings. Of course, played him. And
who's
then
getting, who's getting 30 this week? That's what I need
so,
to know.
So the top guy this week is Michael Crabtree. Although that's partly a function of efficiency. He's dropped a league high 8 passes, and that pretty much perfectly explains the difference in his production. But he does have a good matchup this week against Malcolm Butler, who surrendered the most yards and fantasy points of all cornerbacks. And then the guy right behind him is Jarvis Landry. I keep saying it. I keep talking about it. It's coming. I really do think it's coming. And also feel free to blame Hugh Jackson for not letting Baker Mayfield get any first team practice reps this summer. Very stupid. Guy on the opposite side, Tyler Lockett, he's due for a regression. You talked about Alvin Kamara. No actual opportunity. Does a good job of explaining away the differences here. What happened last season and why I'm optimistic moving forward. Eric Ebron, another guy, just murdering usage. We can talk about him a little bit later, I guess. Look at Todd Gurley, who we could also talk about. I think Tyler has a hot take on him. And then if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you could find our top DFS values of the week. You'll see Kiki Kuti, Jarvis Landry, Eric Ebron, Antonio Brown, top four guys on FanDuel. On DraftKings, it's Kiki Kuti again, Carlos Hyde, Michael Crabtree as the top actual opportunity values. That's not including defense adjustments. So just based on volume, those are the guys.
You've answered one of the greatest questions in history.
What's that?
Kiki does, in fact, love you. So we're going to hold up on that one for Kiki Kuti. I do like Kiki. Got to see Will Fuller. Fuller's hamstring, that's acting up again. I think he's a fine play. So let's go into running backs. Tyler, let's start off at your stud. And I'm having a problem this week because we're gonna talk about guys like Julio Jones, and I want all these high-touch guaranteed running backs. The problem, Melvin Gordon, you've got him in here, and this is a pretty tough matchup against Cleveland here. Do you see something? It's got a low total, too. They're on the road. Is this just pure attrition for Melvin Gordon? Targets, red zone work, all that stuff working in his favor.
Yeah, it's a tough week to pay up at RB. The top dogs are either crazy expensive, Gurley, or they're in less than ideal matchups. It's times like these where we have to remember that defenses don't matter and to target the running backs who are in line for a bunch of touches. And I'm kidding, just not about the touches. Gordon's averaged over 20 touches per game. He's scored 6 times in 5 games. I like this Browns game here because I think they'll do a decent job defensively against them, and it'll force Gordon to catch passes out of the backfield. That's where I think he earns his keep this week, receiving. I think he and Gurley have a very similar stat line by the end of the week. In fact, our projections have them within 1 fantasy point. Gordon's just 2K cheaper.
Gurley, we'll talk 10K. Once you get above the 9K price on DraftKings, it's very prohibitive to the rest of your team to use those players in either cash games or tournaments. So you're not going to find Gurley on a lot of my teams this week. I think that's going to go along with something else you're going to have to say here in a little bit. Scott, I'm leaning a little bit more, a little bit lower, right? Like I'm not on Gurley. He's too much. I like him, but it's too expensive. I'm a little worried on McCaffrey in this Washington game. There's a lot. If Olsen comes back, there's a lot of mouths to feed in this Carolina offense. And I don't think I'm paying peak price for McCaffrey. I can get behind Gordon. His usage is very secure. I'm living in kind of this next tier between Connor and Mixon to kind of anchor my teams this week. We've got a cheap Zeke Elliott as well. Which one of these guys is going to do it for you at running back?
Yeah, so it's honestly a close call. Again, you're right. Gurley is really expensive on DraftKings, though. I think he's a must play on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah, it's looking like Mixon, Connor, Yeldon. I do like McCaffrey more than you.
Zeke, a 7K Zeke.
I mean, this is a tournaments podcast. I don't like the upside against Jacksonville. I just don't see too much potential. I mean, he's totally in play. He's cheap. He's another guy like David Johnson who, you know, I'm not in love with in tournaments, but I get it at their price range. But the guy I wrote up was Mixon, and it's just he's an uber bell cow just in terms of usage this week, but he's not really priced in that range. In week 1, he played 79% of snaps, 17 carries, 7 targets, 56% of the team's touches. Week two, 21 carries, one target, despite leaving about like halfway through or leaving after only playing 50% of the team's snaps. Giovanni Bernard, when Mixon was out, averaged 22.6 fantasy points per game. Last week, Mixon, 78% of the snaps, all 22 of the team's carries, four of the team's six running back targets. You know, the matchup isn't great. You know, Pittsburgh's been good against running backs, but Cincinnati does have the third highest total on the slate. So he's probably one of my top guys in the position for sure.
So I want to – I looked into I actually wrote a Mixon for a Yahoo article I wrote this week. So let me explain to you what the Steelers – if you look at their fantasy points against and stuff like this against running backs, let me explain to you who they played. They played the Chiefs in a shootout when Andy Reid was just letting Patrick Mahomes sling it all over the field and they didn't involve Kareem Hunt. They faced the Buccaneers, who have nothing at running back. They got out to a big lead against the Falcons. They played the Browns without Baker Mayfield, an offense that wasn't able to move the ball. And then they played a tough interdivision game against the Ravens, who also don't really have any scary running backs. I don't know. I think Mixon's a really good play this week, is kind of what I'm saying. You can kind of talk about, you can figure out why the Steelers look like they're pretty good against running backs. And I think Mixon's in store for a pretty good game. So agree completely with you on that one. Very, very tough between him or Connor for me. I might try to use both of them. You could make that work on DraftKings pretty easily, in my opinion. Another guy I'm looking at, you both got him in there. I'm going to go to Tyler on this value. TJ Yeldon, I'm really worried about the number of plays in this game. We know what Dallas wants to do at home. And I don't think after the Blake Bortles experiment failed miserably, at least in the first half before garbage time, Blake Bortles was kind of put up a lot of stats. I don't know. I think this is going to be a really slow game. But Yeldon, he's 6,400. He's going to get all the work. I don't expect Jamal Charles, signed off the bakery truck down the street or whatever he was doing now, is really going to get a lot of carries. Yeah, you know, it's all about opportunity for running backs, and you got to expect, what, 20-plus opportunities here for Yeldon.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it there on the onset. Pace won't be on his side, but he should be a lock for 90% of the snaps and running back opportunities. Again, we have to remember that this is a Sean Lee-less Cowboys. Their run defense is completely terrible with him out of the lineup. Fournette's already rolled out. Corey Grant's put on IR. Jamal Charles just shows how desperate they are for extra backup help. Yes. I don't think he'll really contend for any kind of touches. Last week was a perfect game script, though, for Yeldon. The Jags got down early, got a lot of receiving work, caught 8 of 11 targets, finished with 26.2 fantasy points. Don't think we see that same kind of game script, but I do think he sees a ton of touches rushing the ball. And, again, I'm not really worried about this Cowboys defense.
Yeah, he's not doing too horrible on the ground either. It's a little scary. If Devontae Freeman's out, Would you take the guaranteed touches from Yeldon, or are you going to save $1,000 with a guy like Tevin Coleman? I'm not convinced Tevin Coleman gets more than like 60% of the work for the Falcons this week.
Yeah, Judge Ito is just going to snipe him there and vulture a touchdown.
Everyone loves Judge Ito. Yeah, I think I don't know if I'm going to play the Tevin Coleman trap and cash game. Should Freeman sit? Freeman popped up on the injury report today on Wednesday, so we got to see how that plays out. I don't know. I think I'm done falling for the Tevin Coleman trap, but today. So Scott, you also had Yeldon here. You want to back this up? It's just, you know, when you get these mid $6,000 running backs that are going to get 20 touches or at least 20 opportunities, very hard to pass them up in full PPR, especially a guy like Yeldon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tyler. I didn't know you wrote him up, so that was my bad. But yeah, I'll back up what you said on Tevin Coleman. I'm not sold that he's an amazing value. So when Freeman was out, he averaged 13.4 expected fantasy points per game. That did rank 10th most. But, you know, Ito Smith averaged 7.3. So that it is kind of like a 65-35 split, which isn't, you know, it isn't tremendous, but it is still pretty good. And he does make sense as sort of a leverage play on the passing games there. And you know, he is a value. I just don't think I like him as much as I like Yeldon. I don't really have too much to add outside of, you know, Yeldon's just going to be a massive bell cow this week. Mm-hmm. I do think the matchup's tough, but I also don't think that matters relative to volume and price.
What about a $5,900 David Johnson, Scott? Does that do anything for you? At Minnesota, really very, very tough to see Arizona competing in this game.
Right. So now we've just hit on all my fades. I mean, they weren't really like strict fades. It was just guys to temper expectations on. And it was Zeke, David Johnson, and Tevin Coleman, because those were the three guys I was seeing the most pop up in, you know, sort of early week dummy lineups. David Johnson, the thing with him is he hasn't seen more than four targets since week one. Just really gross, vile usage. I know he hit last week, but that usage is bad, and it's going to be especially bad this week when they're, what, 9.5 point underdogs against the defense that's been easily best in the league, well, I guess tied with the Eagles, against opposing running backs for 2 years now.
Yeah, David Johnson. I was interested last week, kind of got bailed out with that late touchdown. I don't know, 5,900. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
He's still definitely in play. He's just hard to bank on. You're hoping that, you know, the team finally comes to its senses and gives him like eight targets, which they should. But, you know, there's over the past 4 weeks, you know, we have a sample of them just not doing that despite games with bad game script.
I think my running back pool is going to be really thin this week, especially up at the top. It's going to be Gordon, Connor, Mixon. It's going to be, I don't hate Jordan Howard. I don't hate Chris Thompson a little bit. I don't know. I think my player pool at running backs will be pretty thin this week.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Tyler Dud, this is more a price fade. I mean, if you use Todd Gurley, you're not getting your boy Julio Jones, so it looks like no Todd Gurley for you.
Yeah, Gurley, to Gurley or not to Gurley is really the question of the slate this week. The total number of times that a running back has been priced over 10K over the past four seasons has been six. Running backs at that salary that have produced 30-plus DraftKings points is just one. So one of those six guys has been able to hit 3X value at a 10K price tag. Paying up for production is nice, but you're paying a lot for that guy. The one path to him hitting his 30-point outing is if Brandon Cooks or Cooper Kupp are ruled out.
Yeah,
could be a check-down machine.
I don't know. The 10K price tag is just so prohibitive for both cash games and tournaments that I think that's I might not X him out, but I can easily see myself with, I don't know, 5% Gurley across hundreds and hundreds of tournament teams this week. Just not someone very high on my radar.
FanDuel cash game option, but yeah, nothing on DK for me.
Correct. All right, let's do a couple of things here. I want to talk about Greenline real quick on PFF. Let me find it here. Here it is. So I'm burying the lead here, Tyler, because last week I pulled up the over-under. It was on the Patriots-Colts game that was played, and Greenline had the over-under like 10 points higher. Not to be outdone this week, Greenline has the over-under of this Chiefs game at a nice 69 total points compared to the 59 on the market. Did you hit up my bookie again?
Yeah, I'm on there right now hitting this thing again. What can you say? It's a Gronk game where the total is 69 points. I'm playing a lot of Thursday through Monday slates just to get some Gronk action in there.
Yeah, when I try to point out the biggest green line discrepancy I can find on the product, and this is by far it this week. So if you like the green line product, I think it's hit from the things I pulled up. I think I'm 4-1 on the show of the things I pulled up. It's the biggest one every week here. Go check out the over-under on this game, because this is just a PFF from all the ELO scores, everything else they got going on here, predicting a lot of offense. Scott, I want to talk to you real quick. I guess I could talk to Tyler as well on Pat Thorman snaps and pace. And normally we talk about fast-paced games, but I want to talk about what Pat wrote up on the Carolina-Washington game, because he kind of sees this Carolina, I don't know, really situation neutral, not a fast team. Washington, not a fast team. I don't see a ton of scoring in this game. We saw Washington's inept offense on Monday night. Now they've got a short week. Does either one of you have a feel in this game? I liked Cam Newton earlier in the week. I like Christian McCaffrey a little bit. I know Scott's always going to like Christian McCaffrey. But Scott, what's your overall take on this game?
Yeah, I mean, really the only one I'd consider playing in the entire game is Christian McCaffrey. And like you said, there are some reasons to be a little skeptical. He produces as he had prior to Olsen's return. I mean, who on Washington are you going to look at? Capri Bibbs, I guess, if the two running backs sit out, but outside of that, yeah, there's just not much to like.
Tyler, what do you got on this game?
Yeah, I'm normally always trying to play Cam Newton. I just love his rushing floor, and I think he always has he provides a weekly ceiling that very few quarterbacks can match. But he's
I will say on that, Tyler, if you don't mind me interrupting you, is that Watson has finally eclipsed him in rushing expected fantasy points per game now. It's like they're by 0.0, by 0.1 per game. But so just, you know, Watson's another guy with a similar rushing ceiling and floor, I think. That
Watson's going to get himself killed, though. Cam can handle that type of
rushing. That's right. That is right. That is right.
Maybe Watson shouldn't be doing it. Take his coach's advice to get out of bounds or go down a little earlier. But, yeah, I don't know. Pat's article is really good. He highlights some of the fast-paced stuff. A lot of it's spent on Falcons, Buccaneers. A lot of it's spent on the Bengals, Steelers, you know, the high-scoring games. But I wanted to point out one of the lower scoring games, because I was really looking at Cam Newton. I was looking at McCaffrey a little bit. I'm a little worried on McCaffrey, just especially if Olsen plays. So many people are involved in that offense. DJ Moore is going to start commanding targets. Curtis Samuel's back in there. There's just a lot more options for them, especially in the passing game, than just dump offs to Christian McCaffrey that we saw for the first couple of weeks. I'm a little worried, and McCaffrey's price, specifically on DraftKings, I don't know, just a little bit too high for my liking. So just pointing out some of the fun stuff here at Pro Football Focus. You can, if you like Green Line, you can get that with the premium package that gives you all of the PFF advanced stats. If you like stuff like Scott's actual opportunity and Thorman's article, along with countless other things, you get all the player grades and all that other stuff. I think that's $40 through the PFF Edge over on Pro Football Focus. All right, back to the plays. Let's talk some wide receiver. Tyler, I guess we'll just start with you. You got the jersey behind you. You know, they say defense doesn't matter. Touchdowns don't matter to you, apparently. DraftKings, the ultimate troll, $7,900 against Tampa Bay this week. It's staring me in the face. If you look at any projection site, he's going to jump off the charts on there after they factor in the defense that may or may not matter. I mean, Julio has to be. I'm playing him in cash games. You said pre-show. If it doesn't work, like we've been saying this, right? We've been saying this for like 2 years. This is the week that Julio doesn't go through. We're done playing Julio. I don't care what happens the rest of the year.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to agree to that, because I think it's still Julio month. Like, he's still got another two or three really good games and matchups on his schedule in the next few weeks. But this is the matchup here, the one that we want to target. The reason why I have Julio jersey behind me. I've also got Crabtree in my closet ready for next week, Scott, when he breaks out. But for Julio right now, I mean, I don't really know what to say. It's an incredibly soft Tampa Bay secondary. The Bucs corners are two struggling rookies and Miko Grimes' husband. Atlanta's top five in red zone trips per game. I think we finally see the multi-touchdown Julio eruption. He's historically done very, very well against this defense, and we're seeing this defense a shred of itself now that it's scattered with so many injuries.
Yeah, I saw Ian, I think it was from Fantasy Labs, he posted he's got 10 career TDs against Tampa Bay. I think his most against any other team is 5. So he destroys Tampa Bay. Scott, you on board with 7,900? I think DraftKings, they did a disservice this week. I think even though he's been struggling with touchdowns, he still should have been the highest priced wide receiver, honestly.
Yeah, definitely up there. I'm with you guys. He's a guy I want to go super close to all in on. Tampa Bay ranks dead last in schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to opposing wide receiver ones. Since 2014, he averages 26.2 fantasy points per game across 8 games against them, 34.7 when home. He's coming off of a tough matchup in shadow coverage against Joe Hayden. And so he has the squeaky wheel theorem working in favor of him as well. Dan Quinn said after the game, we have to make sure he gets as many touches as we can. I see an eruption spot coming. Yeah.
What else you got for me if it's not Julio? I mean, Mike Evans has been lighting the world on fire too, right? He's got himself a pretty tasty matchup here with your boy Jameis back in there. You've got AJ Green at home against Pittsburgh, and you know, if Big Ben could ever show up on a road game, that game could possibly have some fireworks. Adam Thielen, I think there's only 2 or 3 people who have at least 10 targets in every game. Thielen's one of them. Antonio Brown's 8,700. Nobody's going to be using him over Julio this week. Out of all those, which one is more likely to draw some of your DraftKings dollars if for some reason you didn't want to use Sweep?
So I have a cool stat for you guys. I just got access to some more dank stats, and a new one is measuring how often a receiver is targeted as the first read in on a play. And Adam Thielen, like, I know he's leading the league in targets, but he's also leading the league in first read targets far and away. Number two actually is Zach Ertz, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, so Adam Thielen's a guy up there. Just like what he's doing is on a historic pace. What he's doing, and you know, why not just keep rolling? The matchup looks good as well. Arizona funnels production to the slot. Yeah,
boom. If you're on Yahoo, he's priced like a mid tier to high end wide receiver too. He's going to be very popular on Yahoo this week, I think. So, yeah, I can make a case for a lot of those guys. Hopkins, if White doesn't suit up for Buffalo, that could be a really nice spot. I think in the long run, I like Julio. But, Tyler, looking at all these other guys at the top here, it's really hard to make a wrong choice if you want to swerve off Julio this week.
It really is. You could pay for almost any one of these studs. Scott mentioned last week being a MME week. I think this could be another potential one.
Every week's MME week. Tyler, let's go to a value play here. Now, I think my favorite is probably – I like a couple. I like a guy like John Brown, who's Mr. Air Yards, if you like that. He's 5,500 at Tennessee. I like Quincy Enunwa, who's 5,600. Put up the goose egg last week, but they didn't need to pass. I think they're probably going to need to pass. And he's just crushing his team and market share of targets and air yards and snap, you know, anything you'd want in a receiver. He's the number one wide receiver. I like those two in the mid-range. What do you got for me?
Yeah, I'm going with a guy that I think is safe for both cash and tournaments, and that's Tyler Boyd. I like attacking this Pittsburgh defense. They have a below-average pass rush, allowing a ton of success with passes over the middle with Ryan Shazier out. The Steelers have allowed quality fantasy outings to slot receivers like Jarvis Landry, who went 7 for 106. Mohamed Sanu went 4 for 73 and 1. Boyd's coming off a quiet game where the Bengals utilized A.J. Green in the slot a bit more. Green ran 44.8% of his routes from the slot versus his 27.1% from weeks 1 through 4. That left Boyd with a rather pedestrian 4 for 44 on 5 targets. So A.J. Green might get that Joe Hayden treatment that Julio got last week. Joe Hayden doesn't go into the slot. I think he's had like about 2% of his routes covered in the slot this year. Rarely goes in there. So that means Boyd, when Hayden's covering Green, will have a really good matchup on the outside or in the slot against Mike Hilton or Artie Burns. Both those guys are very beatable. 6K isn't a real steal on Boyd for DraftKings, but I think he's a really good play on FanDuel at 6,300 and a safe bet for about 8 or so targets.
Yeah, I do like Boyd probably on Fan or on DraftKings. Maybe just a little bit too expensive when I like some of those other guys kind of right behind him, a little bit cheaper. But I'm going to have to give Boyd another look over with Tyler's blessing to do so. Scott's got an interesting name, probably the quietest 22 targets over the past week or 2 weeks that you're ever going to see from a receiver and never hear his name. So, Scott, let's talk about Chester Rogers.
Hilton, it looks like, is going to be out this week, and Jack Doyle. So Rogers led the Colts wide receivers and targets in each of the past 2 weeks. He averaged 18.0 expected fantasy points per game over that stretch. That ranks 10th most among wide receivers. Of course, he did benefit from Luck throwing 121 passes, which is like one of the,
he's going to do it again.
It's like top five all time.
What else are they going to do? Stretch.
Yeah. But that's the counter for sure. I think he's a better play than Taylor Gabriel. Maybe not a better play than Josh Reynolds, depending on Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks where they stand. And I think I like Mohamed Sanu maybe a little bit more for large field tournaments. But he also has the matchup in his favor. He's run 94% of his routes from the slot. The Jets have given up the second most fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers, but the 8th fewest to outside wide receivers. And that's really a function of the Jets' defensive coordinator scheme. It's really similar to Atlanta's in a lot of ways. And we know you attack Atlanta with pass-catching running backs, slot-wide receivers. But also, it's backed up by talent. So it's not just the scheme, it's also talent. And that couldn't be more true this week with Trumaine Johnson coming back and Buster Skrine in the concussion protocol.
All right, I want to throw a couple more names out, and I don't know if I'm going to start the cycle on this guy this week. But he outsnapped Demaryius Thomas last week. We're looking for cheap receivers. Mr. Sutton there in Denver is 3,500 on DraftKings. Anyone have a hot take on Sutton this week?
Yeah, he's a great bargain bin play. Marcus Peters is a shell of himself right now. He's currently our number 106 graded cornerback out of 111. He's allowed the most the most receiving touchdowns so far in the year with 5 and a QB rating of 131.7 when targeted against. Sutton, I mean, you got to worry about the targets, but he's a great matchup on paper here.
I mean, the targets are, if he outsnaps Demaryius Thomas again, the targets are going to come. You could see this, them really having to pass in this game, in my opinion. Scott Sutton for 3,500. He's someone I'm eyeing quite heavily right now.
Yeah. So I actually almost wrote him up for the actual opportunity article. He's one of my top positive regression candidates. He's averaging 10.4 expected, but only 6.4 actual, and 10.4 expected is pretty good. And it does make him look like a value. Marcus Peters is like an ideal matchup. He's clearly banged up. He's clearly not right. And that's backed up by the production he's given up. He's given up 5 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks, 250 plus yards over the last 3 weeks. I will say though that Sutton's going to move around the line of scrimmage quite a bit, so it's not going to spend the entire day against him, but he will get the plurality of his routes against Peters.
Scott, you mentioned Kiki earlier. Even if Will Fuller suits up and is fine, the hamstring's good, or are you still okay using Kiki?
Yeah, so I think it's an ideal matchup for someone like him because he's seeing really good target volume, but he has like an ADOT of like 2.3. And we know Buffalo is one of the toughest defenses to pass on deep, and that's been the case for a number of years now. So that would hurt Will Fuller regardless. And then you have Tre'Davious White, one of the top cornerbacks in the league, shadowing DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, how do you target Buffalo? This is why I was all in on Keenan Allen last year against Buffalo in that spot he smashed, because you target them deep with the slot wide receivers over the middle of the field. And, you know, it looks good for him. And like I said, you know, based on actual opportunities, he's a top value. I'm probably not going to have too much exposure to him, but I do like him. Yeah.
And I want to ask you too, with Higgins out in Cleveland, Landry, he's got double digit targets in 4 of his 5 games. Obviously, as a really good quarterback, he's been in your opportunity article a couple of times. Price probably, I don't know, it's a fair price for him, $6,600. I don't think it's too high. I don't think it's too low. I think it's about right.
I think it's too low. I think he should be priced a good deal higher than that. Based on his usage, it's been phenomenal. You know, I probably would have talked about him again this week, but, you know, I have to cut myself off at some point. But, yeah, he's a massive positive regression candidate. And you know, the matchups, I don't think ideal, but you know, it's good enough to make him a value.
And then Tyler, I know you're using Julio, but Sanu, I mean, he's 4,800. It's probably still too cheap in this matchup. 3 straight weeks of double digit fantasy points, not just double digit, but 15 plus on DraftKings at 4,800. That gets it done. Do you got anything on Sanu? Like, can you just use anybody in the Falcons passing game? I don't really see why you can't.
Falcons and Tampa Bay. So I kind of like going to the bottom of the well for either of these teams. Sanu being the one guy, a lot of targets across the middle. Buccaneers aren't covering anybody. But on the other side of the ball, I kind of like Adam Humphreys as a really cheap play. Great leverage play off the chalky Cameron Brate. Humphreys could see those underneath targets that the running backs typically see against Atlanta, considering that they don't really have a running back that they want to run out there.
Ronald Jones can't catch the ball, right? That was a big knock coming out of college. Boom. Adam Humphreys eruption game for 3,200. Heard it from Tyler here first on the Pro Football Focus Show. All right, let's go to tight ends. We'll wrap this up. Everybody wants to play Cameron Brate this week. Scott, you've mentioned a couple times. First off, in what world do we live in where Eric freaking Ebron is the highest priced tight end on a slate? I get it. But that's just because it's such a garbage position, which I think this is why everyone's on Brate. Scott, he's 3,700. You know, you got some fun stats here on Brate, so I'll let you get to it.
How much time do we have?
We've got approximately 7 to 8 minutes. I'm gonna give you 2 minutes here.
No. So I gotta reel us back a little bit to Ebron. He's really not egregiously priced. So
I know he's not. It's Eric Ebron.
Oh, okay, that's fair. But I will say, actual opportunity over the past 3 weeks, only four players total more expected fantasy points than he does, and that's Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, DeAndre Hopkins, and Antonio Brown. So, like, elite usage, 35 targets, second most, 350 air yards, that's 10th most, 8 end zone targets, that's easily most. So, really good volume for him. Cameron Brate, all in. I've been all in for 2 weeks. Don't care what the ownership percentage is. You know, if O.J. Howard plays, that changes things, but I'd be shocked if he plays. I don't think he does. So, throughout his career, Jameis Winston has averaged a passer rating of 120.7 when targeting tight ends. That ranks second best among active quarterbacks. Only Tom Brady ranks higher. Winston ranks bottom five when targeting slot and outside wide receivers. Ryan Fitzpatrick has almost the reverse splits. That's why I said during the offseason, I thought Fitzpatrick starting the first few games was actually a boost for Evans and Jackson. But anyway, 41% of Winston's career touchdowns have gone to tight ends. That's easily most in the NFL. The league average is like 26%. And since last year, it's been 55% of his touchdowns. And so since week one of last season, Brate averages 10.7 fantasy points per game in games Jameis played. You know, that doesn't seem like a lot, but in like a really brutal year for tight ends, that actually ranks eighth most, that would rank eighth most this season. And as a team, we know Tampa Bay ranked fourth in team tight end yards, third in team tight end touchdowns. But, you know, now there's only one of them, with O.J. Howard very likely out. And so he's just, you know, priced egregiously.
If Howard plays, right, he suited up today in a limited fashion. He did have a brace on his leg. The MCL injury is typically, I'm reading off the thing here, a 2 to 4 week injury. This would be, you know, a very early time for him to come back. If Howard plays, are you playing Brate?
I'm going to reduce exposure heavily. For sure. And it muddies things because everyone wants to play Jameis, but there's a bunch of different guys you can play him with. You know, we've seen what Jackson's done in this scheme. Cutter has been talking up Jackson nonstop all off season. He's been one of PFF's highest graded, receivers 3 years in a row now, number one this year. And he was getting open last year for whatever reason. Winston was always like a yard or two off on the throws. And then Evans, you know, volume hawk, Godwin, he's totally in play. You want to play Atlanta slot wide receivers against Atlanta. So he's going to be in the slot the second most, you know, Humphrey's the most, but like, screw him. And then we know, I just talked about how much Jameis loves tight ends. So, you know, it's tough. It muddies things. I might pivot more to Ebron, who I do like, but yeah.
All right, Tyler, let's talk non-Cameron Brate. Cameron Brate is the play should O.J. Howard sit, and I think we're going to see Brate. This is going to be he's going to top the Eric Ebron ownership when Ebron was like 3,600, and everybody knew he was going to have a big game. Everybody's going to be on Brate should Howard sit out. But we want to do something different. What else are we doing here? I'm looking at guys maybe like Hooper, right, for Atlanta. That's still fine. He had the big game. He's going to have a couple more big games this season. I don't mind going back to Vance McDonald, who really put up the goose egg. Maybe they need him a little bit. And instead of being 24% owned like he was in the Million Acre, he's going to be like 2% owned. So I'm much more apt to get a little bit more exposure to Vance McDonald. You go down a little cheaper, it gets really dirty. You want to talk a little bit about Ricky Seals-Jones, but I don't know if you're just making stuff up or you need someone to talk
about. Yeah, kind of. So it's process over results, right? So we had 0 points last week, so we don't like those results. But we like the process where he saw 6 targets. Since Josh Rosen has taken over, RSJ leads the Cardinals in air yards. Has a very beatable matchup here against the Vikings. Minnesota has allowed at least 90 yards receiving in 3 of 5 to their opponent's top tight end. And the Cardinals should be throwing a lot here. They're 10.5-point road dogs. Just 2,700. He won't take much to hit value if they can finally connect on some of those deep air yard passes.
Yeah. Njoku, lots of targets, but it's a really tough matchup going up against San Diego. I forget the safety's name off the top of my head. But he looks really good this year, shutting down tight ends. I think that's one of the toughest matchups you can have for a tight end. Trey Burton coming off the bye. Was that a bye? Yeah, they had a bye. Yeah, they had the bye last week. And then, Cook or Reed, one of those guys can go off. Jordan Reed, just a pretty horrible game last time out. Can't believe the Redskins really couldn't do anything against the Saints, but it is what it is. Scott, what are you coming? I mean, you could find a lot of duds here. I just talked about Njoku a little bit here. He's on your dud list. You share the same feeling as me.
I mean, the volume's definitely there. I just want to say, Chargers might be the best tight end matchup in football. Maybe the Saints, but it's one of those two. Outside of a 82-yard catch allowed to George Kittle a few weeks ago, Chargers easily rank best in schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends since week one of last season. They've held Jared Cook and Kelsey to a combined 26 yards. I don't know if you mentioned it, but I do like Cooper. Obviously, just like everyone in that game.
That's the clear swerve off, right? Those two guys, I would imagine the combined ownership of those two in the Millionaire Maker this week is going to approach 50%. Insane for, and the bus rates of tight ends, I don't care what type of matchup you're in, bus rates of tight ends are some of the highest you'll find at any position. So just thoughts to keep in mind as you approach later in the week and start making actual teams. Tyler, we'll get out of here with this. What's your dud at tight end this week?
It's Trey Burton, a guy that you mentioned briefly. Dolphins have allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to opposing tight ends. They haven't allowed a double-digit fantasy adding to a single tight end, nor have they allowed one to reach the end zone. This total's already dropped 2 points since its opening, and I imagine it's going to drop more. Very few fantasy-friendly pieces here in this matchup.
Weren't last year the Dolphins, like, every tight end went bananas against them, and then this year no tight ends going nuts against them?
Rashad Jones is healthy.
Minka, is that Minka? Is Minka doing that?
I think it's Rashad Jones that mainly covers them, at least from our tight end matchup chart.
All right. So no Trey Burton, 4,500. Going to be interesting to see. We don't have projected ownership up yet. Usually it's up by now, but I don't see it. But the ownership's on Brait at the tight end position, going to be extremely high by the time it's all said and done. So I think that's going to wrap it up for the Pro Football Focus Show this week. I will not be here next week. I'm going on vacation. I don't know who's subbing in for me yet. Dan will get that to you guys here. But miss me next week. I'll be in Disney having a fun week with my girlfriend out there. So, Tyler, it's been fun. Scott, thanks for all those dank scats. Real quick, Scott, how do you get access to all this super-duper PFF top-secret data? Like you just said, it's like 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You just keep getting more data as you keep on working there?
Yeah, I think so. And I'll never leave because I know there's even more data.
That's how they keep you around.
That's right. They pay me in dank stats.
They just dangle data in front of you. All right, we're going to get out of here, guys. Thanks to Scott and Tyler for coming on board with me. We got the Roto World Show coming right after this, and that's always the fun show. And thanks to all you guys for watching. I'm Britt. We out.